We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we've had to be a witness to the community. I went to Chick-fil-A 2 o'clock with Jonathan and met a fellow that had driven down from Alabama and just went on about how thankful he was. He saw a Bible verse at a ballpark up on the building, and we had a good chance to talk, and he shared his testimony of knowing the Lord. And so, you know, we do have an impact in our community, and we're thankful that we're able to do that. We have two more days, Monday and Tuesday. Pray that the Lord would undertake. We're kind of getting back into that afternoon thunder bumper stage. So pray that the Lord would be merciful. We'll be able to finish up the tournament. We just have a doubleheader tomorrow night, and then possibility of a doubleheader Tuesday night. We're praying for one game, and so it'll be over with. And so we thank the Lord for the opportunity we've had to be a witness and testimony. It's been about a month since we were last together on this theme of Christian friendship, and I want to take a few moments tonight to kind of review the last message that we had and then get into the last aspects of our study, and that's what the Bible says. What standards does the Bible put in place on our friendships? Do you know the Bible has a great deal to say about that? I think sometimes we misunderstand being friendly with friendships. All right, don't mix the two up. You can get into deep trouble that way. You should be friendly. We ought to be friendly people. I told you the story about a man that refused to shake the hand. I was with him, and we were walking down, and a guy came up, and I shook his hand. And after we shook hands and whatever, the fella chewed me out. He said, "What business do you have shaking his hand?" And I said, "I was just being friendly, shaking his hand." "Well, do you know this, this?" It went on to some personal story about it. I said, "No, I didn't," but it wouldn't have made any difference. I was simply being friendly, all right? And he didn't understand that. He thought we were supposed to be mean and nasty and all that kind of stuff. That's the Bible never tells us to do that. Now, the Bible does tell us that if you have a false teacher, you're not to give them Godspeed. You're not to bring them into your house. But it doesn't say there that we have to talk ugly to them and we have to be mean and nasty and call them names and things of that nature. Don't confuse being friendly with friendship, because friendship has a special definition in the Bible, as we've looked at. And there's the friendship that we have with brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a friendship that we have with those that are not brothers and sisters in Christ. And you can be friends, but there are certain guidelines, bumper rails, that God has put into place. How many of you have had your kids bowl at a bowling alley with the bumper rails out? Anybody? How many of you adults use the bumper rails when you're bowling? Right, several. And thank you, Lindsay, for doing that. I don't feel so bad now. I remember many, many years ago, they used to drag out these big old foam ones that they would pull out, and they would set it. Then they came out with the automated ones that would come out, and you'd throw the ball down and it'd bounce back and forth and you'd finally hit something at the other end. Well, you know what God's done? God's put some bumper rails and some guidelines in there about our friendships. God is concerned about them. He wants us to know. So we're going to deal with that in some detail as we look at 10 Bible references to friendships and how, who we're supposed to fellowship with, who we're not supposed to fellowship with and have deep friendships with. Those are clearly laid out in the Bible. I want to review, if we can, what we talked about how we show genuine friendship. And we're specifically dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we ought to be genuine. You know, I mentioned in Sunday school about this whole matter of the group that is requiring people to use certain pronouns when they refer to other people. That's not genuine conversation, is it? It's forcing me to say a pronoun that I don't believe is true about that individual. All right? Now, we have to be careful that we don't fall into that trap. I refuse to fall into that trap. Just like I mentioned this morning, nobody should force you to use adjectives about them. I mentioned about, if I force Brother Lynn, where is he at? Brother Lynn, that you have to refer to me as Handsome Tom. Every time you see me, I'm Handsome Tom. Now, do you think for 1 second that he would believe that if he had to say that? What's that? I missed that. What was it? Wow. I don't know what to say. But thank you. I appreciate it. I know it came right from the depths of your heart. Yeah. Yeah. Forced pronouns, forced adjectives. It's silly. There's no genuine meaning to the words then. And when we converse with each other, we should be genuine. And when we're friendly with others, we should be what? Genuine. All right, not putting on a front, putting on a fake face, putting on fake words. No, be genuine. Be real. Let's look at these things again. Number one, shallow with Christ, shallow with people. Don't ever forget that phrase. If you're shallow with your Savior, you'll be shallow with people. Christian, write it down, put it in your Bible, and remember that. If you're shallow with Christ, you'll be shallow with people. And we've witnessed this whole shallow spirit, that fleshly spirit that's in so many different places, where people put on their pretend church behavior. All right? That's nonsense. We need to be real and we need to be genuine, and you better be deep with your Lord, because that will affect your relationships with others. It'll mean more. Number two, secure in Christ, secure with people. If you are secure in your Savior and you love Him and you want to live for Him and He guides your life every day, then you'll be secure with people. I struggle to understand people that say, well, I'm just not very good with people. Well, are you secure with your Savior? Are you secure with your Savior? Can you talk to Him? Usually the answer is, well, I don't know. Well, that's what you need to work on. You need to work on that relationship and be secure with your Savior. Because you know what the Lord will do? What did He tell His disciples when they went out to minister? Fret not, don't worry about the words that you will say. You'll be given the words to say at the right time. Wow, you talk about relief? You mean I don't have to study for 65 hours on using the right words whenever I speak to people? Now, I'm not saying that we ought not to be wise and study, but what I am saying is this: trust your Lord, be secure in Him, and He will help you be secure with people. Right, we looked at that last time. Number three, get outside your comfort zone. This shows you are not selfish when you get out of your comfort zone. How many of you have a favorite chair at home? How many of you share your favorite chair when somebody else comes over? No? No? Ooh, brother, we need to talk afterwards. Yeah, I have my favorite chair. All right, I like to sit in it. But when guests come over, my favorite chair becomes their favorite chair. Okay? When Wayne shows up at our house, he sits in that chair and he doesn't move. All right? I don't walk around. I didn't get to sit in my favorite chair. My day's ruined. That's silly. But you know, some people live that way. Some people do not leave their comfort zone for anybody or anything. God help you. God help you to get outside your comfort zone. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at how many times? Oh, would you say that louder? That was kind of weak. All times. Well, I only are friendly with people that I like. Well, you won't have very many friends either, because they won't like you. We need to get out of this mentality that has been promoted in our world, where we only like people that like us. You see how silly that is? That's how cliques are formed, all right? I only like people that like me. Well, you know what? God wants you, as it says here in this verse of Scripture, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born to crises, adversity. God lets you know ahead of time there's going to be crises with your friend and your brother. Are you willing to go through those with them? Are you willing to help them through the crises? That's what a friend does. And so that's important. Number four, don't ridicule other believers and their families. We live in a spirit and attitude in this world of ridicule. because they don't come up to our perceived standard of what they should be. Well, guess what? Neither do you. Newsflash. You don't either, because you feel that way. That's an indication of the weakness of your spiritual life. If the greatest thing in your world is to criticize another family or another group because they don't dress like you and they don't talk like you and they don't do this about you, you've set your standard up. And the Bible says it's foolishness. Comparing yourselves among yourselves is not what? Wise. Let's let the Bible work in our hearts, all right? Let's let the Bible work in our hearts and not talk about, yeah, I love Jesus, I love the Bible, and then disobey it. Number five, when spoken to, what should you do? I use Mrs. Pepper as my illustration. Okay, it's good. Okay, she's over there, she's giving me the smirk. You're not in trouble, all right? Whenever the kids come to school in the morning, she's usually one of the first ones that gets seen. And she'll say, hello, butterfly, to the girls. She doesn't do that to the boys, right? Hello, butterfly, how are you doing? And sometimes you're just going along. And she said, oh, come back here, come back here. I said, hello, butterfly. What should you say? Hello? Yeah. She's teaching them what? When spoken to, you should speak back. Now, children need to learn that. Now, I know that we have this saying that children are to be seen and not heard. But they've got to learn manners too. They've got to learn to speak back when spoken to. So we got to balance this out in our thinking. When spoken to, speak back. Be the initiator of friendship, not always the recipient. And here's where we get into big trouble. Well, I'm not gonna worry about this. Listen, when we do our fellowship shaking hands with each other, what do we need to do? Well, I'm not leaving my seat. I like my seat right here. Let them come to me. No, you get up and be the initiator. Mike Schrock, evangelist Mike Schrock that was with us, that man never sits still. When we were in the Philippines, he was all over that auditorium, all right? And he was greeting people beforehand, and he always had funny sayings and so forth. Some of them didn't get it. Okay, understanding, you know, language barrier and so forth like that. I said, Mike, you do understand. They do not speak English sometimes, right? They don't get your Seattle Seahawk jokes, right? and I would joke around with him, you know, but he's very personable. He's outgoing. And some people say, well, I'm not like that. I'm not outgoing. Well, guess what? Work on it. How about that? All right? Work on it. Well, you just don't understand. Words are hard to come by. Well, you know what? Let's look at the time you spend on the phone. Oh. Well, I do talk a lot to my friends, and I do say a lot of different things. Oh, you can make conversation with those that you like? You can't reach out beyond that? Yeah. The problem is, we like to internalize ourselves, and we just say, I'm not going to speak to them. I don't like them. And you start putting the hierarchy out. Are you following me? The hierarchy. Those that I like, I speak to. Those that I don't care for, I don't speak to. God help you! What if God operated that way? What if He administered His grace to ones He liked and the ones He doesn't like? How about that? You know what God said? My grace is sufficient for you. He gave it to the Pauls and He gave it to the Alls. His grace. He didn't go down through a list and say, you know, I don't like these people. They're ugly. They're ugly people. They're not pretty people. All right? Well, I thank God that God's grace came down to ugly people because I be one. Praise the Lord. Right, Mr. O'Pager? He laughed this morning whenever I said, refer to me as Handsome Todd. He laughed. Well, he apologized tonight at prayer meeting. So, anyway, he said, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at the notion of Lindsay having to do that. I said, thank you. That's a good comeback. I'm not buying it, but it's a good comeback. All right. Number six, get close enough to help others, not just your little clientele. Everybody know what I'm talking about here? Little clientele, my little hub of people that I just, these are my peeps. I hate that phrase. It drives me up the wall. Your peeps? Really? Or what were you in middle school? We use the word peeps, all right? It's people, all right? As a full word. Use it, all right? Close enough to help others, not your just your little clientele, and to receive help is a blessing, all right? To receive help. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's what we ought to be doing. Sharpening, not dulling. How do I dull my friend? I dull my friend, but just by repeating what they say. Repeating what they say. Always agreeing with them. You know, sometimes it's all right to disagree with your friend. That's how you sharpen each other. That's how we help each other. You don't always say yes. I thought that I didn't even know that there was a word yes when I was growing up. It was usually what?
No.
No. Yeah. Every once in a while, maybe. All right. Usually, no. All right. But it was needed in my life. No's are just as important as yes's. And we live in the yes generation. You don't deny me anything. I want everything. Well, you need to be denied. You need to be denied. Because God helps us in those times. That's how we sharpen each other. By saying, now wait a minute, think about what you just said. That's not right. And correcting. Number 7, be willing to sacrifice yourself for others. John 15:13 is one of the most... Every time I read it, I'm convicted. What does it say? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the ultimate in friendship and love. To lay down your life. Oh, history is replete with these kinds of stories of individuals who gave their lives to help somebody else survive. Now we need to get off of our little self-promotion, and we need to reach out and say, you know what, I want to help them. I want to help them. They've got their issues, but I want to help them. Because that's what Christians do. All right? We give of ourselves. We don't expect everybody else to give to us. We give of ourselves. That's called sacrifice. That's the struggle that we live with today in churchianity. So I want to get into the biblical standards of fellowship. The guardrails that God puts in place about our fellowship and our friendships. Number one. Ephesians 5:11-14, here's just a synopsis from that. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what to them? Reprove them. You know, that's a dirty word today in churches all across America. Well, we don't do that anymore. They said it, we have to accept it. No, we don't. Why did the Lord tell preachers, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all what? Long-suffering. That means that some people have wrong ideas. And we as preachers, we got to get in the Word to make sure we're not promoting wrong ideas and we're not standing by to let people with wrong ideas promote theirs. We want to help each other. So I'm supposed to reprove them, not embrace them. Be careful what you embrace. Be careful what you pull into your family and into your home. Not everything should be brought in. Not everything should be embraced. This is a guideline of the Scriptures. Have no fellowship. Well, I want a little bit. No. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm to stay away from it. I'm to abstain from all appearance of what? Evil. That's still in the Bible. Do I hear an amen? Still in the Bible. Not very many people believe it. Not very many people practice it. But it's still in God's Word. And it still should be followed. Number two, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Do they have anything in common? No, they don't. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Do they have anything in common? You either have light or you have darkness. This is the picture. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be careful about your relationships. Don't get yourself in a situation where you're locking hands with people that hate your God, that don't love your God. You're going to have problems in that relationship. I remember years and years ago, Dr. Hobbs was counseling a man that said, I'm going into business with so-and-so. And Dr. Hobbs told him, said, listen, you need to step back from that and think about that. This individual, I know him. I know the problems that he's caused in other people's lives. You need to be careful. And he refused to listen to Dr. Hobbs, went into the relationship. It didn't last 1 year. They were at each other's throats. It was a bad experience, and the man lost a lot of money because he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. Be careful about what you embrace and accept. You're to have no relationship. You're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, an unequal yoke. That's when the yoke is not equal. For instance, we have to go back to old-timey days. How many of you have ever seen an ox paired with a horse plowing a field? You don't see that. Wayne tells a story about two horses, and they were both totally different horses. One of them was the out-pulling his horse, and the other one would just hang back in the traces and let the other horse do the work. And his dad one day had enough of it. And he went over there and he picked up a 2x4 and smacked him across the nose, and the horse went right down in the traces to his knees. And when he got up, Wayne's father, Glenn, said that was the out-pulling his horse. Every time he walked by a 2x4, that horse perked up. Okay? Learned a lesson. All right? We pulled together as a team. They had two matched horses. They were the same color. One was a hard worker. The other one was lazier than no good. But he got trained. A one-stroke training session. All right? He got it. Let's go on to number three. Romans 16:17. Here's a guardrail. Now I beseech you, brethren, who's he talking to? Thank you. Christians, brothers and sisters, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and what? Avoid them. That's a guardrail. You're not supposed to be associating yourself with people that are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine of the Bible. These verses are very clear. My fellowship is special because God makes it special. And when God makes a fellowship special, He wants you to follow His rules, not yours. Very important. Very important. You know, rules are needed. Amen? What do we do with rules? We bend them or break them, right? That's what we do with rules. No, we follow rules for a reason. Because rules, when followed, brings order. You don't have to worry about, well, I wonder what we should do in this situation. Well, let's look at the rule book and see. I'm so thankful for smartphones. You pull it up quick, boom. There you go, sir. All right? There's a rule right there. And you can bring light in the midst of darkness. All right? So, I mark them. I put a mark on them. All right? Watch out for this person. They cause divisions and offenses, and I will avoid them. I'm going to stay away from them. We don't do that in Christianity anymore. Oh, yes, we do, if we follow God's Word. Well, we're supposed to be sweet and nice and kind. No, they're causing divisions and offenses. Why would I violate God's Word when He's told me what to do?
Now, I'm not going to be ugly. I don't have to be ugly and nasty. But I don't have to associate. I'm going to close with this story. Early in my ministry, I could take you upstairs to the ballpark. It was the second Saturday of signups for baseball. This was way back in 1989. Contemporary Christian music was just getting ginned up at that time, all right? And I had a coach that came up there and said, Todd, he had this big poster. He said, I want to post this all around the ballpark. We're going to have a contemporary Christian music concert at our church, and I want to advertise it. And I said, no. I got chewed out. You're a Christian hater. I said, no, I'm not. I just love the cause of Christ more. And I said, we're not going to post those signs up here. You do what you're going to do, but you're not going to put the signs up here on our campus. Boy, did I get... He started a phone campaign to put pressure so we would change our minds. And I had to say, no, I don't know how many times. We're not going to have that. We're not going to be posting that. Years later, the same individual came up to me after his kids were already grown and said, you know, Todd, I respect you, and so I appreciate that. You remember what you said to me years ago? I said, yes, sir, I sure do. I said, you started a phone campaign, and I heard from a lot of people saying that I was a hater. He said, I was wrong to do that. I was wrong to do that. You took your stand, and you were nice about it. You weren't ugly with me. You just said, no, we're not going to do that. It was hard, folks. I was young. I was 24 at the time. I was young and it was hard, but I knew we had to do what was right. Now some people say, well, I'm making a big deal about it. What's wrong with you? Why are you making such a big deal out of that? You should let them do it. After all, they love Jesus. I don't know that. The individual that was coming, by the way, had posted in a magazine article in Christianity Today about how she enjoyed, after her concerts, going home and having several beers with her friends and telling dirty jokes. And this was the one that was going to be singing about my Lord. It was the right call, but it was hard. Nobody likes to be hated. Nobody likes to be called names. But you know what? You got to be willing to stand up and take it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said, this is what I want you to do. My child, this is what I want you to do. Mark them and avoid them. And that's what we did. Folks, may God help us to be brave and courageous in the times, because you and you and you and you are all going to be brought under the pressure to conform to expectations. And sadly, there are many people that are willing to conform. The first thing that comes up, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do it. No thought, no consideration, no looking at the Word of God. Just, I'm going to do it because they're my friend. Maybe they're not your friend. Maybe there's somebody that you're supposed to be avoiding because they're creating division and offenses. And you have to be willing to stand up. These are the guardrails of Christian fellowship and friendship. And may God, we got several more to go through. We got seven more that we're going to look at from God's Word, because these are important to help us to understand the guardrails of our fellowship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your Word. Lord, we're just sharing your Word and what you've told us. Help us not to explain away the simple language of your Word, and to put our own desires above your stated Word. That's a danger zone we don't want to go into. To be crossways with thy Holy Spirit, and crossways with the Son, and crossways with God the Father, who's clearly stated what he expects from his children. Help us, dear Father, to live life in a way that brings glory to your precious name first. And then the blessings will come to our friends and fellowship as we conform to your Word. That's how you bless us. That's how you work. That's how you minister your grace, is by us following your Word. I pray that you would work in our hearts in a powerful way to teach us, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.